We thank you for coming tonight to this gospel meeting. We pray that God will richly bless you as I look down into the congregation. I see the Reverend Finlay, and that takes me back 50 years ago, whenever we were certainly a lot younger than we are now. And as a young lad, I used to attend the congregation there in Donaghy. And the Lord certainly blessed us and undertook for us there all those years ago. Let's open our Bibles together, please, in Romans chapter 5. And I want to read just a few verses from the verse number 6. That's Romans chapter 5. And commencing to read at the verse number 6 of this passage of God's precious and God's holy word. For when we were yet without strength, it says here in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But now as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing, but let's just ask the Lord to help me in the proclamation of his infallible truth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again for the privilege that thou hast given us to gather round thy precious word. And we know it is the entrance of thy word that giveth light, and I pray that our God, that thou will shine the light of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ into the hearts of men and of women. We pray that even this night, that precious souls may realize that they're without Christ, their lostness, and oh God, to realize that in Christ there is an eternal, full, and free salvation. And so to this end, oh God, I pray that you'll give me the power to preach thy word, and Lord, defeat every plan of hell. Bind a strong man, we pray. Oh God, let the prisoner free, in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. If you were asked what the greatest problem that's facing mankind today, I wonder what answer that you would give. Indeed, if you were to ask others, what would they say? Perhaps they would say, well, bearing in mind what's happening in the world, perhaps terrorism or war, the threat of war, the economy, corruption, disease, the environment, hunger, overpopulation, poverty, all of these things, because these are topics that are on the lips of men and women today in our generation. But I want to talk to you tonight about a problem that's even deeper than that. Because, friend, this is a problem that goes deep within man. In actual fact, it is a problem within the heart of man. The Bible tells us that as regards this problem, indeed it's a problem that men and women deceive themselves about. And the Word of God says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And men and women, you know, don't want to talk about the problem that God has identified, a three-letter word. It is the problem of man's sin. That's the diagnosis of God, friend. It is the diagnosis of man's problem of his heart. You see, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And that is man's sin. Now, of course, whenever we ask the question, well, what is sin? I think the Shorter Catechism gives a tremendous answer. It summarizes the teaching there. It tells us that sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Now, of course, you and I know that God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments and he gave them unto the people. And then those Ten Commandments, they were divided in two. There was, first of all, there was man's relationship as regards God is concerned. And the word of God is very clear. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Then thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. And so therefore we have those commandments that are relationship, man's relationship with God. And then the fifth commandment is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And then thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And those commandments are in relationship with our fellow man. And so therefore you'll notice that God put, first of all, man's relationship with him, that there should be no other gods before him. And then, of course, man's relationship will be right. If our relationship with God is right, then we will live Christ before an ungodly world, and our relationship with our fellow man is right as well. Now, whenever God created man, the Bible tells us that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. And then the word of God goes on to tell us that God put Adam into the garden. And there in that garden, God said to Adam that of all of the trees of the garden he may eat thereof, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God says, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, God made a very clear command. He said, thou shalt not eat of it. But friend, God went further, because God told him what the price of his disobedience would be. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In other words, there is a price tag upon man's disobedience against the command and law of God. Therefore, man could not plead ignorance. You know, people would say, you know, I didn't know the law said that. Well, let me tell you, my friend, God made it very clear to Adam. That was exactly, he said, of all of those trees thou may eatest, that thou mayest eat thereof, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And there's no ambiguity. There's, my friend, there's nothing where Adam could say, well, listen, God hasn't made this clear. It's a very clear command of God. And therefore man was there in the garden. Now God gave Adam a helpmate. He brought this woman onto Eve, and God performed that first operation, and Adam saw the woman and he said, wow, he called her woman or wow man. And therefore he was indeed taken over by the beauty of the gift that God had given unto him. But one day, my friend, the serpent came to Adam, or the devil in the form of the serpent came to Eve and drew her attention to that tree. Now, let me tell you, he didn't talk about the rest, but he was identifying a particular tree. It was the one that God says, thou shalt not eat thereof. And you know, whenever he started to talk to her, he said, you know, hath God said it? Are you sure that God has said it? And friend, if you study that passage of God's word, you'll find that indeed he was questioning the authenticity of the word. He was questioning the authority of the word. He was questioning the accuracy of the word. He was questioning the acceptability of the command of God. And my, he got Eve's attention onto the tree. This tree that God says to Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when you know, the devil got her talking. And whenever he got her talking, friend, he did, and my friend, brought her into the trap whenever she conversed with the devil. And you'll find there was something happened in the conversation. Because, friend, first of all, Eve added on to the words that God had said. You see, God said, if you turn your Bible, let's just go back for a moment to the book of Genesis chapter 3. Whenever the woman spoke unto the serpent, and it says in verse number 3, but of the tree of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, you'll notice there's two things. God never mentioned touching. She added to the word. But God did say, thou shalt surely die. And then she said, lest ye die. God didn't say that. So she did those two things. She first of all added to the word, and she took from the word. And the Bible tells us that there's a curse of God upon the man who adds to and takes from the word of God. And you see, my friend, here's this woman. She enters into this conversation with the devil. And my, whenever the devil got her conversing with him, in verse number 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Isn't it interesting? He knew that God said surely. My, the devil heard exactly what God said, and he quoted the word surely, but he added his own word. He said, thou shalt not surely die. Now, friend, here's two voices. On the one hand, God says, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. On the other, the devil says to Eve, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt not surely die. Here's the two voices. And who will she believe? Friend, the Bible tells us clearly, she looked at the tree, she desired it, she longed for it, she lusted for it, and then she took it. And then she gave unto her husband, friend. And Adam willfully, not ignorantly, willfully partook of that forbidden fruit, and Adam that day spiritually died, was separated because of his sin, friend. And what an awful tragedy. You know, if you'd have been standing with Adam in that garden that very day, friend, there were no explosions whenever Adam sinned. There was no light flashing whenever Adam sinned. There was no bells that were ringing whenever Adam sinned. No, friend. But immediately, the word of God was fulfilled, because that day, sin entered into the world, and since that, in that instant of time, humanity died. And sin has affected humanity from that day. And you and I, the sons of Adam's accursed race, have fallen in Adam. And the Bible says, listen, go back to the book of Romans chapter 5, and here's the verse 12. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And I want to talk to you tonight about this problem, the problem of man's heart and the heart of man's problem, and that's the problem of sin. Now, I know today the Bible tells us that fools mock at sin. You'll see that sin of every kind is paraded on the television, is put before the eyes. Let me tell you, it's glaring you in the face. It used to be that sin was something that, my, was done often in the corner, but not anymore. No, it's out there in your face. You know what men and women do today? They just mock at it. But the Holy Ghost already said that fools mock at sin. It's only a fool that mocks at sin, friend, because let me tell you, just as Adam found that there was a price for his sin, so will the sinner find there's a price for his or her sin. And you and I cannot play around with sin and think that God will somehow overlook our sin, friend. Listen, man's sin is an offense against God. And remember this, my friend, every sin is against God. You remember the Psalm 51? David was conscious of a sin. Now, he sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against his family. He sinned against his nation. But he said this. He said, God, against thee only have I sinned. He realized the sin was against God. And dear unsaved person in this meeting tonight, if you're living in your sin, I want to tell you, you are offending a righteous and a holy God. You are living in dangerous territory. You are living in your sin. And remember this, there's always a price for sin. There's always a price tag on man or woman's sin, as we'll see just in a moment. So what happened, friend? The Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And every time you see a funeral procession go down the street, friend, every time you stand at an open grave, every time, my friend, you watch the grave digger dig down into that soil, and you lay a person that you love on Mother Earth, remember this, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, that's the fruit of sin. You see, my friend, there's the fruit of sin. Yes, there is spiritual death. That day, that very day that Adam sinned against God, friend, let me tell you, the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam, what did he do? Run to God? No, he ran from him. He went to hide himself. He tried to hide himself. My, listen, he was standing there naked before God. And let me tell you, sinner, that's exactly how you are. You're naked before God. There's nothing you can hide from him. There's sins that you've forgotten about, I'll tell you, but God hasn't. There is not a sin that you've committed, friend, but I can tell you it's on the record of God himself. Because either your sins are covered in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and thank God when they are, they're forgotten, they're put into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you anymore. Or that sin, unpardoned and unforgiven, will stand against you. And on the day of judgment, when the books are open, friend, and you stand before God Almighty, every last one of those sins will rise out of that book, crying for the judgment of God against your soul. Don't you think there's not a price for every sin? Don't you think that you can get away with it? That somehow, let me tell you, Adam didn't get away with it. Eve didn't get away with it. Judas didn't get away with it. Pilate didn't get away with it. But you will. No, friend. You'll never get away with your sin. You see, friend, the first thing that sin does, sin deceives you. Deceived Adam. The Word of God says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Listen to this carefully. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, listen, there's a price tag on sin. But you know, sin tells you, listen, enjoy it. You'll really enjoy it. That's what, whenever Eve looked at that tree, and the devil said, isn't it lovely? And friend, as she did, she looked at it, and then she longed for it. And she lusted for it. And it was no sooner that she did that, friend, she reached out her hand and she took it. In defiance against the command of God Almighty. And she went in her sinful rebellion against God. You know what the devil said? The devil said this to Eve. You see, the day you take that, you'll not surely die, but you'll become as God. In other words, you'll become your own ruler. You'll become your own master. You'll be controlled. Listen, you'll be like him. God will not be able to tell you anything after. You'll become your own God. And isn't that what people are living today, friend? Listen, nobody tells me what to do. I make my own decision. I'll do what I like. I'll do what I want. And friend, you may, but don't ever forget this. There's a price for every sin. There's a price. And whenever Eve reached out that and she handed it to Adam, and Adam partook that fruit in defiance against God. You know what the devil said? You'll become as God. In other words, listen, Eve, it'll elevate you. It'll lift you up. You'll become God. Let me tell you. Whenever we read the scriptures, friend, we don't talk about the elevation. We talk about the fall. The fall of man. And instead of man being elevated, friend, man was brought down. He was brought under condemnation and even into damnation itself. The price of sin. Just turn your Bibles, keep your hand there in Romans. We'll be back there in a second. Proverbs. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. There's a wee woman used to live around Macrofelt, and she had teeth that was always falling out. One was clicking up against the other whenever she was talking to you. She had always like that. And this wee woman used to say to me when I came as a wee lad, saying, young man, don't forget the Proverbs. Don't forget the Proverbs. Tell your friend, do you good to get a proverb in your heart every day? But turn with me just for a moment. Let me show you. Proverbs chapter 23. Mark this. Proverbs chapter 23. This is the word of God, friend. This is not McRae talking. This is God speaking. This is God's word. Verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Then the Holy Ghost says this. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. When it giveth its color in the cup. When it moveth itself aright. Mark this. At the last. Oh yes, at the last. You see the young fellow walking past the bar, friend. Or he's walking past the lounge. What does he hear? He hears the sound of music. He hears the tinkle of the glass. Boys, he thinks it's wonderful. He hears the laughter and the songs. And he thinks that everything's wonderful. And by the devil says, young lad, that's the place for you. He'll really get in there and you'll enjoy yourself. I'll forget about the footy duddies that talk about this. Listen, get on in there. The young lad hears that, friend. Let me tell you this. And the devil will picture the wine, and the devil will picture all the booze houses of the world, and it'll put you all the laughter and all the fun and all the rest of it. Doesn't talk about the carnage. Doesn't talk about the broken bodies. Doesn't talk about the empty hearts. Doesn't talk about the broken homes. Doesn't talk about the shoeless children. Or the family that's left without a bite in their mouth. No, no. The devil doesn't show you that picture. No, no, no. He just shows you the laughter. Can you not hear the laughter? Holy Ghost says this. Look not at the wine when it is red. When it giveth its color in the cup. When it moveth itself aright. Boys, it doesn't seem to move well. But at the last. It biteth like a serpent. It stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, and as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. And when shall I awake? I'll seek it yet again. Why, friend? Because he's caught. And let me tell you, I stand sometimes, and I watch young men, and I see them coming out. And you ask them, what did you do the weekend? Well, he said, I had a great weekend. I said, it was in the pub and it was in the club. And you know, friends, let me tell you, and they're standing after it and they're booking into a bow. And they're like, and I had a great weekend. You know, the devil laughs at them. But notice this, and they'll seek it yet again. They go back to it. Why? Because the devil deceives you. It's a deception. And I warned you in God's name, remember what God says, be not deceived. You cannot mock God, my friend, and prosper. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin deceives you. Tell you something else, sin divides. See, Adam walked with God in the garden until the day he sinned. He had sweet fellowship with God in the garden. Yes, God conversed with him. God told him what to do there in the garden. And they had wonderful fellowship together until Adam sinned against God, friend. And the moment that Adam sinned, let me tell you, the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What happened, friend? Adam ran from God. Didn't run to. He ran to hide himself because the fellowship was broken. Isaiah chapter 59 says, Your sin has separated between you and God. You see, God had met all of Adam's need there in that garden, but he couldn't see it that way. God had blessed him, even give him a person, because God saw that Adam was alone, and he gave him a help. But he didn't see the blessing of God, friend. And he rebelled against the command of God, and sin divided him, separated him from God. Let me tell you, friend, your sin separates between you and God tonight because you have no peace with God. Your sin's the barrier that separates between you and God. You can't have fellowship with God. Why? Because there's something that stands between your sin. And God is a purer eyes than to behold sin. And your sin separates between you and God. But listen to me carefully. What an awful thing when the day comes that your sin shall separate you from God forever. For that's the price of your sin. You see, the day that Adam sinned, spiritually he died, and yes, physical death came, because the day came, the Bible says, chapter 5 of the book of Genesis, and he died. And his family died, one after the other. The angel of death came in, because that's the wages of man's sin. But friend, there's a greater tragedy than physical death. It's eternal death. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean simply this. Your sin will separate you from God forever, if it's not put under the blood. If you don't come to the only Savior whose name is Jesus, because thank God he saves his people from their sins. But if you take your sin and you embrace your sin and you live in your sin, this is what Jesus said. You shall die in your sin and where I am. Listen to this. You can't come. John chapter 8:21, if you don't believe it, read it. It's in the book, friend. Ye shall die in your sin. And let me tell you, my friend, it will not matter what the preacher says that you're over your coffin. It will not matter what eulogy he gives whenever you're put down into the ground. It will not matter. I'll tell you why. Because before he ever gives you that eulogy over you, friend, you're already in God's eternity. Unsaved person, die in your sin. And before the preacher ever announces the first hymn at your funeral, you're already in heaven. And you're there forever. Do you know why? Why will you be there? Because you chose it. You made your choice. You wanted your sin. You didn't want God. You didn't want God's pardon. You didn't want God's forgiveness. You didn't need God's love. The only time you need God's whenever you're in trouble. But when the trouble's past, you go back to your sin. But before the preacher ever announces the first hymn, before he ever preaches or sings or says the first prayer, your soul's already in God's eternity. And I've heard preachers stand at the side of a grave friend and an over an ungodly man and woman, and they knew they're lost. And they said, in the sure and certain hope of a glorious resurrection. It's a lie. It's a lie. Let me tell you, the preacher cannot put hope where there is none. Don't care who he is. And if you die without Jesus Christ, I say this solemnly before God, friend, where you are, you're there forever in a Christless sinner's hell, eternally separated. Just as what Jesus said, where I am, ye cannot come. You can't come. What an awful thing. I'll never forget a loved one of mine, a man I loved with all my heart, an uncle who was so good to us that my aunt and uncle had no children of their own. And they looked upon our family as theirs, and especially my sister and myself, they looked upon us as their children. We lived 2 miles from the town, out in the country in the farm. We went to school in the local town. Whenever it would be raining, my uncle would always say to my aunt, Lizzie, let's get in the car. It's raining. Don't let the youngsters get wet. He loved us dearly. And then one day he was taken into hospital, or one night he was taken into hospital. He had an operation. He severed the part of the leg because of his gangrene. And that night, he was very ill. The last words he said in time, friend, were these words. He cried at the depths of his voice, oh, hell, hell, hell. And life was over. As a child, I cried myself to sleep, thinking about the one that we loved in the Christ's eternity, but I realized I couldn't change that anymore. And friend, let me tell you, if you have loved ones who are not saved, let me tell you, you tell them now the truth. Don't wait till they get to eternity. Don't wait until you're putting a sod on top of them. Don't wait until it's too late. They need to be saved now. For God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Yes, sin deceives and sin divides, separates a man from God. What a tragedy. It's very possible. Very possible you to sing the hymns, bow your head in prayer whenever the preacher announces it. Very possible you to carry your Bible, friend, and have no personal relationship with God. You know him not, and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and your sins upon your soul, and that sin will separate you from God forever. For that's what sin does. See, the devil has a plan for you too, friend, and that's to destroy you. The devil had a plan for Eve and Adam that day, and it wasn't for their good. And sin deceived them, and the devil deceived them, and their sin divided them from God. But that's what sin does. Very quickly, sin devours a man. See, what do you mean, preacher? Let me tell you. Remember the young lad that went into the bar that first night? And maybe, friend, he stood there, and he looked all around him. And maybe somebody walked over and said to him, are you having a drink? They handed him that first glass. Let me tell you. You see the greatest alcoholic in Ulster tonight? It all started with that first glass. And the boy that clapped him on the back and told him, you're a man now, when he handed him that first glass, let me tell you, friend, that sin devoured him, became a chain, and he couldn't break it. I've seen him many a man, and he has lost his house, and he has lost his farm, and he has lost everything, because the sin that gripped him so tight, it devoured him. Oh, the devil will tell you, that's the place to be for pleasure. But it started with that one drink. And like the prodigal, whenever the prodigal got out into the far country and wasted everything, friend, and lost it all, it says, no man give unto him. Nobody wanted him. When he had nothing more to give, when he had nothing more to hand out, when he had nothing more to offer, nobody wanted him. And he sat down there at the old swine trough. And he longed and lusted for the husks that the swine did eat. Imagine a lad that one day his pockets were full. See, the day he left home, and the father divided unto him and his brother, he went out with plenty, and he came home with nothing. From riches to rag. That's what sin does, friend. Sin devours you. But I've got to finish tonight. Let me tell you, I have good news. Look at that book of Romans, chapter 5, just for a wee moment. Go down to verse number 8. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God there's a Savior from sin. Thank God there's an answer for man's sin. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. He died for your sin. He died for my sin, friend. And there on the cross of Calvary, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And thank God with his stripes we're healed. Is there a remedy for sin? Thank God there is. In the cross work of Christ. Jesus died for sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Tell me, do you know the Savior tonight? See, before you'll ever come to the Savior, you've got to know you're a sinner. Do you realize that? The Word of God says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God you can be cleansed tonight in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, hallelujah, cleanseth us from all sin. Have you been to Jesus with the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Tell me, friend. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What's the problem of the heart? It's the problem of sin. And the Word of God says, for all have sinned. No matter who you are, I'm a royalist through and through. But let me tell you this, friend. The queen on the throne is the same as the pauper in the street. Everyone's a sinner. God says there's no difference. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. There is no difference, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of your sin is death. And one day, yes, sinner, you can have your sin. And God will allow you to have it. Well, you can have it. And for a while you can enjoy it. But I can tell you this, I'll guarantee you, there's the wages of your sin. And there's a price to pay. The wages of your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Notice the two things. The wages of sin. What's wages? It's what you work for. And the wages of your sin is eternal death. But the gift of God. Thank God you don't work for it. It's a gift. And it's freely offered in the gospel of Christ. Through the cross work of our glorious Savior. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Will you come to Him? Will you humble yourself before God and confess as the man did and the publican did as we read last night? God be merciful to me, the sinner. Throw yourself in the mercy of God and I'll tell you, He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you from all your sin. He'll make you clean. He'll put your sea into the sea of His forgetfulness. Never to remember it against you anymore. And you can go out clean. I led a man, a police officer, to the Lord. He had guarded me for a while. I knew his family very well, his wife and children. I went to see him one day. I went to see him this week again. He's well in his 80s. And just about a couple of years ago, I went to see him. He said to me, Mr. McRae, how can I get rid of my sin? And I pointed him to the only Savior, the Lord Jesus. You know what he said to me? He says, I feel clean. I feel clean. I says, that's right. Cleansed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that there's cleansing and healing for all who will wash in that life-giving blood. There is perfect deliverance and joy to be had in this world through the blood. And Lord, Thou knowest every heart in this meeting. Thou knowest they're standing before You. There's none of us can hide away from You, Lord, because Thou, God, seest me and Thou knowest me all together. You know everything about us. And, O God, we thank Thee and we praise Thee that those that are Thine are forgiven. Those that have looked away to Christ and Christ alone for salvation are cleansed and pardoned, set free through the blood of the Lamb. But Lord, if there's one in this gathering tonight and they're not saved, Lord, would You bring them to Your Son? Blessed Spirit of God, point the men and women in this service tonight only to Jesus. The church can't save them. And the preacher can't save them. And baptism can't save them. But glory to God, Jesus Christ, Thy Son, can save them. But He died to save them from their sin. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight, I beg you in God's name, turn from your sin. And turn to Christ. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. You say, how can I come, preacher? The only way you can, as a sinner. Humble yourself before God. Acknowledge that you're a sinner, lost, helpless and hopeless. Throw yourself upon the mercy and the grace of God. And call upon the name of the Lord. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, don't go home unsaved. He will save you now. Heavenly Father, bless Thy word to every heart. Glorify Thy Son in the salvation of the lost. And if there be one that has wandered, and have wandered like the prodigal in bypath meadows, left the Father's house,
as the prodigal did, left the Father's table, fellowship with the Father, and have wandered far away from Thee. Oh my God, make them sick of their sin. Make them sick of their wandering, and bring the prodigal home for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friend, we're here to help you. We want to show you from this book, this is God's book, I want to show you from this book how you can know your sins forgiven. How that there can be peace in your heart with God through the blood of the Savior's cross. How you can be sure if you close your eyes tonight in death, you'll awaken in heaven. Thank God you can. In Christ alone. Nobody else. You need Jesus. Don't go home without Him. We're here to help you. Brother Johnson, myself, others would gladly point you God's way of salvation. May God give you grace to come. In Jesus' name.